This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com, BlackStarLabs.com, and by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. FitCast episode number 56. My name is Kevin Larrabee and we have a great show lined up for you this week. We have a special guest, but we're not going to get to him just yet. First off, we have Tony Gentilcore of GentilcoreTraining.com. What's up, Tony?
What's going on, Kev?
Not too much. I'm hoping your internet works well this week.
It is. It should. It should be well rested. I went to the beach this weekend. Jimmy will be proud.
Oh yeah, that's spectacular. Training. And that actually reminds me, we have Jimmy Smith of JimmySmithTraining.com with us, as always, busting our balls.
Oh yeah, thanks. Yeah, I was gonna wait to be introduced before I talked about your beach adventures there, General Corps, but I enjoyed it.
Too bad Keith isn't here. He could tell us some more lifeguarding stories. And also, the laughter that you hear in the background is our good friend Mike Robertson of RobertsonTraining.com. You know him from Magnificent Mobility, Inside Out, his new Bulletproof Knee Manual, his many articles on T-Nation, and I think he's returned to the FitCast more times than anyone else now. So, Mike, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. It's always fun to be here.
It is, and as you could probably tell the last 10 minutes before we actually started recording, it gets pretty crazy on the new FitCast.
Yeah, I can tell this is going to be a super productive episode already.
It's wild.
That's how we do it, and of course, Keith and Jen are not here this week, but that's how we do it because we have a guest on this week, so we don't want to make it too crowded. First off, we're going to quickly jump into the FitCast topics that I'm going to try to blast through. Right now, we're giving away 3 free months of the FitCast Insider with Fat Loss Pros. That's Jen Heath's fat loss interview package. But you get to order it through the FitCast.com. So if you do that, you can find a link for her Fat Loss Pros package. It'll definitely be in the show notes. And again, you get 3 free months of FitCast Insider. There's no special, crazy, small text. It's 3 free months. That's it. And if you want to extend it, it's $5 a month after that. So make sure to check that out. And in regards to that, Mike Boyle just had an interview that went up on the FitCast Insider where we talked about a CNS intensive training presentation that he did at the Perform Better seminar. And also he wrote an article in regards to it on TNation.com. We actually included some downloadable extra content with that. So all your FitCast Insiders, make sure to check that out as soon as you can. Everyone's been asking for a training update with Eric at Excel, and this might cause a couple minutes to talk about this. I mean, if you guys want to jump in and talk about it a little bit too, I've seen Tony there the last couple weeks, and lately things have been great at Excel. I can tell that I'm getting leaner and stronger at the same time. I was actually able, we did some singles this week in deadlift, and I did 325 with a single. That was my third single, and it was pretty easy, so I'm hoping that I can hit 400 this week. And as everyone on T-Nation knows, that's a huge achievement, hit that 400 pound mark. So I'm looking forward to giving that a shot actually tomorrow afternoon. So I'll make sure to let everyone know about it. And actually, going along with that, I have a video of a death circuit that Eric had me do, which I'm not even going to tell you about it because it's going to make me tired, but it was the first time I almost vomited in my life while training. So
that's sweet. That's a crowning achievement right there. You realize that?
Oh, it was close. It involved overhead medicine ball throws to the ceiling, and after that, I had to go into reverse sled drags with 2 1/4 on him, or two plates and a 25-pound plate on it, which I usually do 3 plates back and forth, but it was that. I had to go back and forth right after doing the medicine ball overhead throws. And then right after that, I had to do, I had to throw a keg over my head and do overhead lunge walking for about, I don't know, maybe it was probably 8 or 10 steps. I can't remember. And then right after that, I had to go into medicine ball throws against the wall for 10 repetitions without stopping. And it took me about, I think, two and a half minutes, and I have it on video.
It's impressive.
Yeah, so we're going to have that up on the fitcast.com, and we're going to have a high-quality version on the Fitcast Insider, so you guys can give that a shot, and you'll probably throw up. I usually have a pretty strong stomach. I never throw up, and that I honestly had to take about 2.5 to 3 minutes rest in between those sets just because I was so close to vomiting. Tony, have you ever tried any of these?
No, I've not done. I don't have Eric screaming at me telling me to do circuits when I'm at Excel. But
I meant in general, you know.
No, I do use them with clients. Like I don't, unfortunately, where I work, I don't have access to a sled. But there are circuits that I do take my clients to that are pretty similar. So, and I almost made my girlfriend vomit today when she was training with me. So that was kind of cool.
That's hot.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, Kev, real quick?
Oh, is it going to be a smart-ass question?
No, dude, it's a serious one. Okay. I just wanted to bring up, because you said about, and the Keith Scott's girlfriend, I don't even know if I'm getting her name right. I think it's Lisa. I screwed up her name all last weekend, and I apologize if her name is really Jill, and I'm calling her Lisa. But she says she thinks you're Canadian, because how you say about. Could you say about? Could you say that again?
About?
Like, well, yeah, he doesn't sound Canadian to anybody else.
It's not a boot.
Maybe a little bit.
Dude, he sounds Canadian. Like, I'm not trying to be a smartass. I'm just saying. I'm sorry. That contributed nothing to this conversation. But I just wanted to bring it up because she brought it up at the seminar, and I was like, ah, yeah, you know, he sounds Canadian.
Well, she thinks my voice is sexy, which I don't get because
dude, it was mean. He told it was you as a joke.
Well, thanks for hurting my feelings. We'll get Keith on next week to just clarify that. But anyways, like I was saying before, those death circuits, one word of wisdom, if you train with Eric Cressy, don't ever send him an email complaining about anything, or you'll have to do one of those.
No, but did he have you do that after your training session?
Yeah. I honestly almost died, but
as you can see,
I'm
here.
Yeah, no, I'll do whatever I'm told, like as long as someone tells me to do it, I'll probably do it if I trust someone as much as I do trust Eric, but... Again, going on with that, Eric will be on the show next week, so Tony won't be on the show. Huge loss. And I meant that seriously. I wasn't even joking. But
he said it, smartass.
No, I didn't.
Well, we only have one headset here at the apartment. So.
And the internet is so horrible there,
that too.
Probably couldn't even get them both on at the same time anyway. But Eric will be on next week. He's going to be talking a lot about his high school baseball players. A great story in regards to that. They did a fantastic job in the playoffs, and I think they actually won the championship.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, a bunch of guys that he was training on that team, and now he has almost the whole team training at Excel this summer for next year, which is quite impressive. I got to meet a bunch of the guys there, and, I mean, he's doing some amazing stuff, and it's... proof is in the pudding.
I went in the other morning at Excel and helped out a little bit with a couple of the ball players. He's got a good thing going on there. So
that's awesome.
Let's look for them to repeat. I got my money on them. So look for that next week. And get ready. You can start sending questions in to questions@thefitcast.com if you do have any questions that you want to ask Eric. And I get asked Tony. Tony, are you wearing headphones?
I am.
Okay. Is everyone wearing headphones?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm getting a little bit of feedback, but I don't think people out there will really care too much. Anyways, our good friend Dos Remedios has a new fitness forum, our message board that he has on his website. I'm going to link to that in the show notes, and I just want to let everyone know it's a brand new message board. There's going to be pretty much no BS, only good fitness talk. Fitness discussions, that's it. There's going to be no flame wars. There's going to be pretty much no, I want to be honest, no bullshit, because that's what a lot of fitness forums out there are turning into, and this is going to be strictly hardcore discussion. Anyone can join, or if you want, just start reading at his message board. There's so much great information already, and it hasn't even been up for a week. So, be one of the first ones to sign up there. And again, I'll have the link for it in the show notes. And lastly, something I wanted to bring up, because we do have Mike on the show, I wanted to talk about Building the Efficient Athlete DVD series. Because one thing, after watching it, I actually let my friend borrow it because he's just switched to be a kinesiology major. And I'm like, dude, you gotta watch this stuff. Watch the first three DVDs. Let me know what you think. It's going to blow you away. And Mike, I wanted to ask you the question. I would even recommend this to people as a functional anatomy study tool, because you go through all the anatomy you really need to know. And like Eric said in the DVD, knowing it, functional anatomy isn't just a prerequisite. It's a requirement, you know. That didn't make any sense, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. You know, and I think that's one of the inherent values of the whole thing, and that's why we spent 2 hours out of our, you know, weekend just going over that stuff, because it is so important. And Jimmy and Tony were both there, but, you know, so many trainers have no clue, you know, the basic concepts of anatomy. Like, you know, for at least for my exercise science, and I talk about this in the DVD set, but, you know, my idea of, you know, functional anatomy in college was an arrow pointing to a muscle, and you have to be able to spell it right and know what muscle is, you know, which muscle is which. I mean, you don't have to know what it does. You don't know, you know, where it originates, where it inserts, any of that stuff. So this is stuff that, you know, personal trainers, it's really going to take them to the next level. So, you know, obviously we found it important because we spent, you know, 2 hours out of whatever, 12 or 13, just talking about that topic. So I agree. I think it's something that, you know, I think personally that DVD set is something that almost any trainer or coach out there that wants to improve their game should have it in their arsenal, because it's going to help them so much.
Yeah, I just think it's...
I think without a doubt, I want to just throw that in there, what Mike just said again. I was there, and Tony was there, like he said, and I mean, for guys just coming into this industry that are seeing now how important functional anatomy is, like, if they had to buy one thing and they bought Building the Efficient Athlete, like, that'd be it. And I'm not trying to say just read one thing, but that is a phenomenal 2-day seminar. So, you know, kudos and props to Mike and Eric, because that was a fantastic then, it still is now.
Thank you.
Well, I loved it so much because I can't stand... The one problem I have with kinesiology in school is that I can't sit there, look at a page, look at, like Mike said, arrows pointing to different muscles with names, having all the insertions and origins, having all the muscle actions. That I can't sit down and do that for more than 15 minutes by actually being able to watch it in a video. I mean, just having you guys talk about it helped me so much. And to be honest, I got a C in kinesiology last year, and I'm retaking it this semester, so I'm hoping to bump that up to an A, B, or a B, and hopefully this is going to help me out a lot, because you guys have really nailed it into my head that I have to get this stuff down pat before I even get out of college.
Well, and one thing you're going to find too, if you ever listen to Dave Tate talk about being a trainer and getting the CSCS degree and all that stuff, I mean, I remember when I first met Dave, he said the only reason I have the CSCS is so I have, like, you know, accreditation. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the only reason I have it. He's like, as soon as I took the test, I tried to forget everything they taught me. You might find the same thing with the anatomy that they teach you, you know, because they might still teach you, well, rectus abdominis flexes the trunk, so you train it using crunches. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So what you learn from that DVD series is the stuff that's going to actually make you a better trainer. The other stuff is what's just going to help you pass tests. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, should be clarified. But, you know, like you said, it's so important, and it's something that every trainer needs to know.
And by the way, it's the Building the Efficient Athlete costs the exact same amount as my kinesiology book. So if you're looking at that, I would say get the handouts for your kinesiology class. Ditch the book, because you might not even look at it, and pick up the DVD series. That's not – you can't tell your teacher that when you don't pass the quizzes that I said that. But
student loans,
baby. Can I ask a question?
Hell yeah.
Can I – like – obviously, you know, I was there, and I actually demonstrated some of the movements. I was in the Building Efficient Athlete, but was
That's
I pitting out in those videos?
Yes,
you were pitting out.
Oh, man. I knew you guys were making fun of me, but I wasn't sure if the camera angle got the actual armpit shot of me pitting out. So I haven't watched the actual DVD yet, so...
Yeah, it's been so
now
long.
I don't want to.
And Mike, let everybody know how much you love hamstring curls, too, Tony. So.
Oh, Lord. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, Mike, put it down out there.
Hey, I was just throwing it out there, man. If somebody wanted to pick it up, that's on them, you know?
I just want to let Tony know, I think it's only fair that as we're talking about Tony and just people making fun of him, that Jimmy was kind of hitting on you pretty hard last week, Tony. And
oh,
hitting, what?
Geez.
Why are you going to say hitting on him?
Well, I don't mean like sexually.
You clarify.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant like you were dogging him, maybe.
Oh, behind my back?
Well, no, how's it behind your back, dude? It's recorded. No, I said this is Tony Gentilcore. That's all I said. You emailed him about it too the next day.
No, he was making fun of your first episode.
Oh, yes, yes, the infamous. Yes, I'm past that.
Okay. I just want to be honest because I don't know. If I were you, I wouldn't check every episode. But just I thought that you should know that.
Well, let's see. You emailed him about it. You posted in his blog about it. Like
no, I didn't. Mean, what are you talking about?
Enough. I've had enough.
Okay. Well, anyways, let's actually jump into the perform better discussion because that's why we didn't have a show last week. So we're going to be blaming Tony and Jimmy for that.
Fault.
Yeah, it's a little bit of Keith's fault. And I think we lost Tony Gentilcore again. So Tony, hang up. And he hung up. So Jimmy, why don't you start off by talking a little bit about what you saw at the Perform Better 3-day seminar that I obviously missed out a ton on because you guys sounded like you had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing, we had a lot of fun simply because there was great presenters and everything, but once you get, you know, a bunch of guys you know and your friends within the industry who you're not around often together, it's always a good time. So real quick, I'm just going to go day by day. Day one, the first presentation I saw was Thomas Plummer, and that was in the business of fitness. I basically saw every presentation with Keith, so his opinion would either agree or disagree with me. And I know Tony only got to the last day. Thomas Plummer basically went over what it takes to be successful in this fitness industry, and the thing he kept talking about was stop wearing sleeveless T-shirts, you know, stop doing everything that's stereotypical of trainers that are in this industry. So that's the big thing there. So Martin Rooney, Strength Training for Speed, and Martin really did a good job talking about bodyweight exercises and things like that. The next one was Todd Wright, which is a great presentation on improving functional performance of training movements. Todd Wright is a strength and conditioning coach with the University of Texas, and he did a great job just showing Kevin Durant jumping off an inverted plantar flexed ankle, so that's where the majority of ankle injuries are going to happen. He did a good job of showing transitional zones in the body and how functional anatomy is so really important to know that what's going on with one movement is going to lead to the next movement. And there was Bill Parisi's The Art of Networking, which was good. And Bill just went and talked about, you know, how to get ahead in the industry, how to network, how to talk to people. So that was pretty good. Next day, I saw a couple Mark Verstegen presentations, which were very good. I'm trying to think who else I saw real quick. Mark also talked about his business, which is pretty good, his model, building athletes' performance to the success it is today. And the second day was Greg Cook. Third day, actually, was Greg Cook talking about the backside of the court. And this was really interesting. And I know Tony blogged about it, and I talked about it in my blog. Gray actually talked about how successful and good deadlifting is for you. It wasn't your typical get your abs strong, clean up your hip flexor, get your glutes to fire. No, Gray went into how to improve your deadlift and how that's and how and why it's so essential. And then I saw Mike Boyle. Mike was talking about interval training and you know what you should do with it. So all in all, it was a great time. And Tony, I'll let you take over now.
Can people actually hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I was there. Eric and I showed up Sunday or Saturday night. I went Sunday, so I was a little fashionably late to the whole Perform Better thing. But first one I went to was Greg Cook, backside of the core. Fantastic. Greg Cook is definitely climbing the rank. I mean, he's a well-known guy regardless, but I've never seen him speak in person. But he has a lot of good things to say.
And, yeah, you did. You saw him in Boston.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, that's the first time I heard him speak, and this was the second. But both times I've heard him speak, it's been phenomenal. He's a smart guy, and he's very good at taking complex stuff, making them seem very simple. It's like, wow, why didn't I think of that? You know, and like Jimmy said, he went through the deadlift and why it was such a valuable exercise. Went through certain progressions, and then obviously the second one we went to was Mike Boyle, who is probably the most quotable guy in the industry. And had a lot of good things to say about basically people need to probably stop running and do more interval work. Women, you know, he went through his article he had, Should Women Run? So it was a great weekend, and the final two lectures, Jimmy, Keith, and I kind of stood in the back room and kind of talked shop a little bit for the last hour and a half or so, which was nice. So we got to catch up, and I got yelled at by a woman for talking too loud.
Oh, that was hysterical. Tony was talking about how he was talking about some knee issues he's having, and this lady turns around, and now we're in the second to last row, and the lady's like, "Can you guys be quiet? I can't hear." There's freaking 30 more rows in front of you, and I apologize if you're listening, but she yelled at Tony. But yeah, it's always good to get in the back of the room.
I felt like a jerk.
Yeah.
You should have given her a fake-ass t-shirt or something and be like...
Well, I was wearing my Cobra Commander t-shirt, so...
He did, so she thought he was a bad guy. during the Greg Cook presentation, to show you how good it was, Tony, myself, and Keith all left in the middle of the presentation to go buy his DVD on the topic, because we knew they were going to be sold out.
It was
and they
good.
Sold out. As soon as he was done.
It was great. I mean, just a lot of the examples he used, you know, I think Jimmy probably remembered it, the example he used about that athlete who tore his rectus abdominis from his pubic bone.
Yeah.
And a lot of doctors brought him in and say, "Oh, what's wrong with this kid?" You know, because they were looking at at the actual pathology, like they were looking at his rectus abdominis, and he went and found out that the guy had like a 15-degree differentiation with dorsiflexion on one of his ankles, so which would affect the hip, which then affected that. So I mean, he's very good at reminding people to look at the dysfunction elsewhere, and that where something hurts is just where it ended up. And I know Mike and Eric have said that repeatedly in all their products as well.
I think I said that once or twice, maybe.
You think?
Only like every article I've ever written, probably.
Yeah.
Well, I heard you guys had some great fun outside of the seminars. I heard Jimmy got, you know, shot down a couple times, but...
No, let me clarify this, because simply Keith Scott is the only guy I know who can tell every cute waitress that walks by that I have some unknown third world disease while also telling them to check out my blog. So yeah, that's
check
talent
out
of
Jimmy's
itself.
The training. Dot blogspot.
No, it's yeah, he threw it in jimmystraining.blogspot.com, correction. But yeah, so that's why.
Wow, so that didn't help at all?
No, I mean, when you're coming by and he's like, yeah, his third toe has, you know, two heads to it, and I don't want to hear that.
Oh, I do have to give props to Keith Scott, though. He did some SMR on me and released my piriformis, and I went and squatted later that day and felt like $1 million.
Well, Keith was also doing splits, like full splits.
He was a champ last weekend.
I was trying to get him to do it in the restaurant. He was like, no, I have jeans on. But Keith can do a full split.
That's impressive.
I'm sure Jimmy is very excited about that.
Dude, that's the second reference you made. First of all, I'm not even going to say what we said about your posture. I'm going to leave that alone because it was pretty funny.
Oh, you talked about my posture? I performed better?
Your posture is kind of like the open parenthesis sign.
You know what, guys? You guys got to have something better to do or perform better than talking about my posture. And it's getting markedly better.
It is. No, I will vouch for Kevin and say it is getting better.
And you know what? My hips are nice and loose. I can go ass to the grass now after warming up for 10 minutes. I feel like $1 million. I feel like my back's still kind of iffy. I still need some more thoracic extension work. So I'm going to be good to go. Just give me some more time.
And you're staying through the end of summer, right, Kevin, at Excel?
I think just till the end of July, maybe the first week of August, then I get to head back up to school and hopefully get right into training the soccer players. I don't know if I'm going to start with the basketball players yet, but pretty much all the athletes are coming back the first week of August.
Nice.
So that's basketball good, guys. Fun.
Wait, is it female or male soccer players you're going to be training?
Both.
Yes.
What?
Huh?
Who said yes?
That was me. That was a Napoleon Dynamite right there.
Oh.
I thought that was
Nobody caught it.
Yeah, I thought it was Tony, too.
That sounded a lot like Tony.
Well, you know.
I'm sorry, Robertson.
That's all right.
Just back on track. Back on track.
Yeah, we're way off topic.
Yeah. Let's jump back into it. And again, like people out there know, the show kind of gets off track, but we're trying to keep it as much on track as possible. Last thing I want to quickly mention is, anyone see Die Hard yet? Because I know Jimmy, no?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, disappointing. All right, then we'll probably talk about that next week.
After I see Transformers.
Oh, that's coming out next week?
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, I heard it's gotten great reviews so far.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to go too off topic because then I'm going to have to edit this out, and I don't want to have to edit tonight. We are literally recording this at 10 o'clock on Sunday night.
It's actually 9:40.
Well, it sounds better if I say... Oh, God damn it. Never mind. All right. Well, anyways, guess what? We have a fantastic guest on, Mike Robertson, so we're going to pick his brain a little bit. I'm going to jump in there first, Mike, and I want to ask you, you've heard this whole hoopla with Kevin Durant, correct?
Yes. I've heard he's a pretty good basketball player.
I'm talking about this whole...
The 185.
Yeah, the whole issue without being able to bench 185. And I know you train a lot of athletes pretty close to his age, and I want to, and even basketball players, and I want to know, what's your take on this whole situation?
Well, at Ball State, let's just say, first off, we didn't have many kids, you know, that were, you know, much more than, say, like a 250, 275 max.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we had guys anywhere from, you know, your 5'10", 5'11 point guards up to... The tallest guy we had there when I was there was 6'10", but he weighed 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the dude was a total string bean. So, you know, here's the way I look at it. From everything, and I'm a pretty big basketball fan, so I've been following the draft and all this stuff, and I've heard numerous people say that Kevin Durant might be the best person they've ever scouted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the best. You know, they're talking about, like, a combination of, like, Scottie Pippen and Kevin Garnett and all these different people. I don't care how much he can bench press. The kid's 19 or 18. You can teach him to get, I mean, you can get him stronger. Over the next 10 or 15 years, he'll get stronger. But, you know, the talent level that this guy has, you know, is freakish. You know, and I know people are even bagging on University of Texas saying, oh, what are these guys doing? But, you know, Eric brought up a good point. You know, they might have only had this kid for actual strength training like 2 months.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like true, like, off-season. And even then, it's not really off-season because by the time they're on campus, they're training for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're playing, you know, the guys at Ball State were there. You know, they're there pretty much all year. But, you know, especially when school gets back in, they're playing pickup games nonstop. So, I mean, there's not that much dedicated strength training time. And, you know, I think people want something to talk about. And Kevin Durant is obviously something to talk about, but... You know, I couldn't care less. Personally, if I was a strength coach, I'd be like, fine. You know, the less stuff he has going on to begin with, the more stuff I can do to keep him healthy and get him stronger as I go forward. So.
And you still have a ton of time before the season starts this year. I mean, it sounds – where he went to Seattle, so their strength coach has a good 2 or 3 months before this – or almost 4 months before the season starts, just summer league. That's all he has.
Absolutely. I mean, they're talking about this kid coming in. You know, the scouts are saying he will lead the league in scoring at least once. I mean, they haven't even seen him play at the NBA level yet. You know, so...
He should have been a Boston Celtic, by the way. Him or Odin. And I'm going to...
Uh-huh. Hey, Boston got Ray Allen.
Hey, you know what?
You know, at least they got maybe one of the purest shooters in the game.
I don't,
also was a UConn boy.
He was.
For Eric. Because I know Eric's listening somewhere.
I know. As soon as I heard that Allen was traded to Boston, I called
Eric. Eric's
like,
pissed off about this.
We got to get Eric to Excel. we have to get Ray Allen to Excel.
That would be amazing. But I think right now I don't want to go too much into Celtics talk because I almost went as far as the calling into local talk radio because I was kind of – I wanted to talk about how – You know what? Ray Allen came in. We pretty much didn't have to give anything up for him except Delonte West, who's – probably my favorite Celtic in the last 5 or 10 years, and we still are looking to get Kevin Garnett.
This is true.
We have the money. We have the money if we can trade Theo. We have Al Jefferson, which...
Not going to happen.
Why not?
Because what parts do you have that Minnesota would want for KG? That have
no,
to be like a
they already said all they want is Al Jefferson and another player like Gerald Green. We give him Theo Ratliff, which is an expiring contract, and the money matches up, and all they wanted was Al Jefferson, but Garnett didn't want to go there because he hates Wally Szczerbiak, and he thinks that Boston, like the city of Boston, is racist. But I'm telling you, with Paul Pierce and Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett, I smell at least Eastern Conference championship, possibly NBA championship, and I'm desperate. I need it.
That's right. You guys are fiending. You've gone at least like a whole year without a championship there.
20 years without a Celtics championship. We're coming up on 21. And you know what? The Patriots are going to win it this year. That's fine. The Red Sox are probably going to win it. That's fine. The Bruins suck. I don't care. And I don't know. Okay, well, anyways, let's keep moving on.
Yeah, Mike, actually, I have a question.
Yes, go for it.
And since we were already talking about the whole strength thing, I wanted to get your opinion on how much value do you put in just pure strength training for corrective exercise alone? Because I know when I work with clients, I always stress to them that, you know, getting stronger can be corrective in nature. So
absolutely.
I just wanted to hear you elaborate on that.
Absolutely. In all my programs, you know, there is no point in time that strength training is not a huge component of it. Even the most jacked up people that I start with, you know, they'll go through, you know, what I consider like a more mobility based phase, or like mobility and like foam rolling and soft tissue stuff, you know, so the emphasis will shift from time to time, especially when I'm first working with somebody. But strength training is always a huge priority. And, you know, even in that case, you know, the guy that's totally quad dominant and totally a mess, you can still do a ton of like deadlifting and single leg stuff. Because that stuff, if you're doing it correctly, is, you know, it's inherently corrective in nature, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with, like, push-ups and face pulls and those kinds of exercises. So, you know, I think at that point, you know, as far as corrective exercise goes, it's just better exercise selection. You know, but strength training, it never comes out of the equation, if you ask me. You know, it's just which exercises are you going to choose, which are going to give you the best bang for your buck with regards to correcting whatever you're fixing up. And then you kind of go from there.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, you're on the right track. I mean, I knew you would be. But, yeah, some of these people where, you know, their corrective exercise is, you know, literally they'll have them foam roll for 20 minutes and then they'll mobilize for 20 minutes and they'll do activation and then they'll send them home.
Yeah, I mean, I see it quite a bit, you know, in the years that I've been a trainer. You know, these people come in, you know, with a shoulder issue, with a lower back issue, with a knee issue, and a lot of trainers will spend so much time, oh, we have to make sure your glutes are firing, we have to make sure this is working, this is happening. But at the same time, it's like, you know, these people need to get a training effect as well.
Absolutely.
And you know, the way I like to explain it is like, if I can make you handling your body weight easier, which, you know, if we get someone stronger, we'll do, the better off they're going to be. But like, I absolutely love your rationale as far as, you know, exercise selection.
Yeah,
makes a big difference.
And that's the biggest thing, you know. A lot of people have a tendency to be their own worst enemy, you know. Like, I just started with a guy today, and, you know, hopefully he's not listening. I'm not going to say his name or anything, but, you know, he's like, well, you know, I stopped doing bench presses and pull-ups because they were hurting my shoulders, and I stopped doing deadlifts because they were hurting my back. It's like he knew the things that were hurting him, but he kept going back to them, you know, without doing all the things to get himself healthy first. So that's why he's brought me in, so I can get him to that point where he can bench press and pull up and do all that stuff healthy and using the right muscles. You know, so that's really, you know, all I did in the beginning. Obviously, you know, like I said, tons of soft tissue work, tons of mobility work, and then it's just refining, getting the right muscles doing the work, and finding a way, like, you know, Eric's really good about this too and talking about it, but finding a way to load them and keep them entertained with it.
Exactly.
So they don't start to feel like there's some kind of, like, physical therapy rehab case or something.
Exactly.
You know?
I think that's important because I was going to say Eric does that quite a bit. You know, he wants to get people to feel like they're not being treated as a patient. They're there to, you know, get stronger and fix what needs to be fixed. But on that same note, do you, like, the difference between men and women? Like, I found that I find that when I train people that I have to kind of hold the men back. You know, like, I'll be showing them how to, you know, rack pull or how to squat, and they always put my weight on the bar, let's put it on the weight bar, but it does not look pretty. You know, but with a woman, you know, they're a little bit more laid back and they're just easier to teach. Do you find that same?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because I think Eric and I had this discussion before, too, where I said I would train females just about any day of the week over males. They tend to have a better learning curve as far as they want to learn how to do it right. They're more patient as far as their results, and if anything, I need to push them a little bit, which is fine. It's not so much holding them back, but, you know, women, for whatever reason, just tend to get it a little bit more, especially with, like, high school and college-age guys. It's really hard. There's a lot of holding back, You have to watch them. They need a lot more supervision as far as training. You can't. I would rather train 12 girls at once than 12 guys at once, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just less supervision involved. When I was at Ball State, our girls volleyball, I'd routinely have 12 to 15 girls by myself, and it was never an issue because I taught them how to do things properly. They would squat to the depth that I'd want. They'd use the weights that I want, whereas some of the guys, you know, I mean, everybody's seen it. You know, you turn around and they've got an extra 25, 50 pounds on the bar. Their squat depth is about 4 inches higher than it just was. You know, it's just sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right. And I think one of the things that people will always say is with guys, you need to hold them back. And with women, you need to be willing to push them forward a little bit. You know, hey, you know, this looks really strong. Let's add some more weight to the bar.
You make a great point there, Mike. I was actually I got a chance to train Eric's girlfriend, and it was just fantastic. Compared, I only trained two guys up at school this past semester, and they were nothing but a pain in the ass. And I had to get them away from doing. They liked doing single arm dumbbell rows, but instead of doing a row, it looked like they were training to just start their lawnmower faster.
Yeah,
if you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
And it's just it took me showing them three different times to get them to understand this. I mean, it's not too hard.
Yep.
You can look in the mirror if you have to see your form. And
right.
I know they want to anyways. But I mean, it's just been a blast to train her so far, and again, so receptive to anything I say. I mean,
absolutely.
It's a joy.
Yeah, and I don't want it to sound like I don't enjoy training guys, because there's an inherent thing that's just fun about working out with guys, training with guys, you know, being able to push each other. But, you know, as far as training clients or athletes goes, you know, especially if you're going to do it in a group setting, I just find women tend to be a lot easier to work with as far as getting them to do the things that I want on a consistent basis. So. Just my opinion, I guess.
And to clarify, by train, I meant like train twice on two different nights when I was just
okay.
There late. So it was nothing serious.
Hey, Mike, I have a question for you.
Sure.
And I get this question a lot from a lot of people that email me. But when you're dealing like with body composition clients, so not necessarily athletes, people just trying
yes.
to, you know, some jaws and pounds move better, they're the ones that are harder to get into the whole corrective thing. And I have a lot of young trainers that will say, well, how do I do it? How do I explain it to them without talking over their head? And for me, it's as simple as saying, look, you know, if your glutes aren't firing, if they're not strong enough, we can't get you deep on that lunge. If we can't get you deep in that lunge, you're not going to get the hamstring, the glute, the quad recruitment you need. It's not going to develop. So then I take them in that way. How do you go about it, like, with your clients, or the clients that are just coming to try to just, you know, move better or to just look better, drop some pounds? How do you integrate the corrective thing without making this whole big process?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny that you say that, because I was talking about this when I was at Allen's facility last week. I was relating it all to knee pain, but you've got a great point, because part of my philosophy is every person that I work with, first and foremost, my goal for them is to be healthy. So whatever their goals are for themselves, whether they want to get stronger, their physique-related goals, they want to lose body fat, whatever the goal may be, I always tell them, look, until I get you healthy, it's going to take you that much longer to get to whatever goal you want to get to. So if I just keep putting Band-Aids on you, all right, so we don't do any kind of corrective stuff, we just start fat loss training, okay? Day one, we hit the ground running. 3 weeks in, they pull a hammy or they tweak their knee or something. Something goes wrong. Well, then I'm right back to where I was anyways, because I'm trying to fix them up, right? So I tell them, look, in the beginning, instead of putting Band-Aids on you, let's get you totally fixed up, get you feeling as good as you possibly can, and then from that point forward, I'll take you wherever you want to go. If you want to get stronger, great. If you want to lose body fat, that's great. Whatever the case may be, if you let me get you healthy first, A, just feeling good is pretty cool. Most people enjoy that aspect of life, not hurting. And then B, it gets them to wherever they want to go that much faster. So if you tell them, like, look, this is going to help you get to where you want to go, and it's a nice side benefit too, generally they're very receptive to you and what you're wanting to do with them.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way I approach it, and I've had good results with that. Luckily too, I mean, you know, I haven't been doing this, you know, as long as like a Bill Hartman or an Alan Cosgrove, but I've been doing it long enough and I'm confident enough in my philosophy and the results that I've gotten where, you know, people understand, look, this is the way I'm going to do it. you know? So, you know, there are certain people who are like, no, I don't want to do it like that. I just want to start losing fat. Well, you know, there are unfortunately some people that just aren't good fits for you, as a coach or a trainer. And, you know, luckily, you know, I'm at a point now where I don't have to take every single person that comes my way. But, you know, it's one of those things where if you can prove to them, you know, the benefits and show them the benefits up front, then they're a lot more receptive to you going forward.
And that actually ties in with the question I want to ask you as well, Mike, is do you have like a specific protocol or characteristics or traits that you look for in clients? Because I know where I work, like, I want people who are going to work hard, who are going to be there 2 to 4 times a week, who are going to do what I say yep. outside of the gym. What do you look for certain protocols? Like, I mean, do you essentially fire clients?
You know, I haven't had to necessarily yet, because a lot of times I think it's a two-way street. People understand, you know, like, if you're not happy with them, they're probably not happy with you for some reason or another, no matter how good of a coach you are. So, you know, I have not necessarily ever had to fire a client, but there's been just mutual, like, this probably isn't going to be the best thing for either of us, you know. Mm-hmm. And so being honest with a client, and, you know, like I said, if you're not comfortable with something, they're probably not comfortable with something too. So if you can take it to them on a professional level like that, like, look, this isn't probably going to work out for us. Let's go our separate ways, and we'll both be better off. But as far as finding the clients you want, you know, I've heard many people talk about as far as the concept of ranking your clients, okay? So an A-level client is somebody that is always on time, is always in a good mood, refers people to you, you never have money issues with. It's like the perfect client, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you rank them all the way down to like a D client who cancels almost all the time, always complains, you know, the worst possible client you could have, basically. And as you start growing, you know, when you first start out, I mean, you take anybody. You take the A's, the B's, the C's, the D's because you got to pay the bills, you know. But as you get better and you start to refine your craft and you start drawing more and more people and more interest, you can start whittling away some of those clients. You know, because, you know, the D clients, life is too short to have to deal with that.
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, those people, not only do they not necessarily help you, you know, pay your bills because they're canceling, but they take away from you on a mental or an emotional level because they're always complaining or they're always hurt or, you know, just for whatever reasons, they're taking away from the energy you could be spending with good clients who want to get results.
Exactly.
So I think that's the best way to look at it, you know, especially as you're just getting started, whether it's in the industry, in a certain market, in a certain facility, you know, start by ranking your clients. I don't think there's ever a time where you shouldn't do this, even if you're just getting started. Start ranking your clients and think, okay, these are the best people. And then as you start to build your clientele and build your facility or whatever the case may be, then you can start whittling away. Maybe you take the D and the C clients and you give them to a different trainer. Or, you know, whatever the case may be. But that way you start filling yourself with more A's and B's because those are the people you're going to get the most out of and the people that are going to help you really grow and build yourself up as a trainer. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to butt in here quickly because I want to quickly mention our sponsors and to remind everyone we're actually going to quickly talk about our article discussion right after we have our questions with Mike. What's so funny? I like to put the sponsorships right in the middle of the show so everyone hears them.
That's the rudest thing in the world, though. Like, you cut poor Keith off every single week.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. But first off, we have TurbulenceTraining.com, Boost Muscle Growth, and Blowtorch Body Fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Check out Craig's TTMembers.com site. He has a new workout up there every month, and I'm sorry I forgot what his workout was for this month, but I think he's actually doing a muscle building workout thanks to some of the new stuff that Jason Ferrugia is doing. Also, blackstarlabs.com. As always, I'm actually drinking one of their shakes right now, some Peptide Pro, Ultra Peptide Pro 2.0, which is like their muscle milk-like product, but without all the crappy fats that they put in muscle milk, and they have none of that that creatine precursor that they put in the muscle milk that Dave Barr got all upset about in the T Nation article, which I think he has some valid points there. And also, I mean, we have Mike Robertson on, and he's the sponsor of the show, too. RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High-octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. And like we said before, you can check out all of his products from Building the Efficient Athlete to his new Bulletproof Knee Manual to Magnificent Mobility. I mean, he's got it all there. I mean, you can check out all the products in his store. So make sure to check out Mike's site as well, as I know you would have anyway because he was on the show this week. But again, we lost Jimmy Smith, and I mean we lost Tony. I'm sorry. And again, I apologize for butting in this week, but I meant to do it before
just this week. My foot.
All right. Well, I'm sorry, but I know you guys out there all love our sponsors as we do as well, but. Let's jump into the Q&A because, Mike, I had a question for you, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about your home gym setup. And
yes.
I know you've had it set up for a couple months now.
Yep.
And I'm wondering, have you made any changes to it? Is there any regrets that you've made? Is there anything you would have done differently?
I wish I had a 3-car garage. So I'd have more gym space. You know, it's funny. My wife and I actually got out there today and just cleaned it up. Tidied things up a little bit, but you know, I'm really happy with the setup as is. It's a great space. Obviously, you know, anytime you start, you know, developing something like this, there are things you start off with the bare basics. So I started off with a rack, you know, plates, a bar, all the basic stuff. But you know, now if I could add a few things, it'd be nice to have some sort of like row. Lat pull down, pull through type machine.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice to have something like that. And obviously they're not cheap, but it would be pretty cool to have is something like a free motion type machine. Because now I think if I could have any machine, you know, I know machine training gets bagged on as it rightfully should, but you know, I think there's a lot of cool stuff you can do with the free motion machines, especially some of the dual axis stuff as far as, you know, whether it's just working on protraction based movements, chop and lift variations, pull throughs, face pulls. You know, I would really enjoy having something like that just so I could hit some of those random exercises. But luckily, I still have my gym membership. I go down there and hit the treadmill every now and then to do some intervals, so I'll do some of the basic stuff there, but you know, I can't tell people how big of a difference it makes being able to wake up, hang out for a half an hour, you know, kind of, you know, just get the senses going and then go down there and get a workout. You know, it's so convenient. I don't have to worry about people being in my way or people talking to me. You know, it's just you get in there, you get your workout in, and you're done. So it's a huge deal. I think it's really made a difference as far as my training goes. And just being busy, I mean, the convenience factor can't be overlooked. I mean, you walk downstairs and you can get a workout in and be done. So it's such a great thing, and I'm really happy with it.
I'm not nearly as busy as you, Mike, but it's sometimes just those days where it's really hard to fit in that half an hour drive to Excel.
Absolutely. Right?
But with something like that, I look at it as being totally worth the hour drive every day to go train at a facility like that in an environment that is heads and shoulders above having all the 40-year-old moms training at the facility I usually train at. And some,
nothing wrong with them.
No, there isn't. There isn't. I just, it's not, they're not going to let me deadlift and, you know, if I happen to drop the weight, or they even tried to kick me out of my gym 2 weeks
That's
ago. They tried to kick me out of the gym because I have a tendency of bleeding on the bar when I do deadlifts because I just cut up my shins and I started bleeding on the bar and they're like, you're going to have to leave. I'm like, what's wrong? They're like, you're bleeding. I didn't even know I was bleeding from my leg. And I was barefoot. They're like, well, first off, you can't be barefoot. The second thing, you're bleeding from your leg and people are scared about that kind of stuff. I'm like, really? I don't think I have been tested lately, but I'm pretty sure I'm clean of everything. But I understand. But it's just, it's so worth it just to go someplace like Excel, or if you can find a place that's half an hour away near your house, or even an hour. I mean, Eric's told me stories that he used to drive hours to go train at Southside.
Oh, him and I drove sometimes an hour both ways when we were in Connecticut to Southside.
Yeah, see, that's
2 to 3 times a week, sometimes 4.
But Kevin, I think you're getting an idea of what it's like to train in a gym with some real atmosphere and attitude.
It's fantastic.
You know what I mean? You probably had more gains in this summer than you've had in the last 3 years of training, I would imagine.
Oh, it's been nuts. I'm so pleased with what I've been able to do with Eric and the guys at Excel. It's amazing. I feel better than I ever have in my life. Mobility-wise, I'm 110%. I mean, I just feel fantastic. And you know that feeling when you don't feel run down. You're not sore. You're not achy. You're not tight anywhere. You just feel great. And that's
awesome, man.
It's amazing to have that sort of feeling. And I've been learning so much. I can't wait to carry that over with my athletes up at school. And hopefully they'll have the same effect. And it's,
yeah, you're going to be a new coach by the time you get back to school in the fall. It's going to be cool.
It's exciting. It is.
Yes.
And I still got plenty to learn, so hopefully there'll be some more seminars coming up that I can get to. But do you guys have any other questions for Mike? I know you guys had some more things to ask Mike.
I might have another quick one.
Yep.
Mike, I'm assuming there's probably a lot of new trainers in the industry listening to this FitCast, and I wanted to get your thoughts on what are some of the top things that these new trainers could do to quote-unquote climb the ladder? You know, I get a lot of emails from people asking, like, how do I get in with T-Nation, or, you know, and I know you in the past were got at me about setting up my own website and stuff like that. So if you can kind of go into detail, like, what are some of the top things as far as people getting their names out there, what they can do to do so?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing that I would tell every person, and, you know, whether you write for T-Nation or, you know, you're making $200,000 a year doing this, there's one common factor, and that is that you know what the fuck you're talking about. You know, sorry to drop the F-bomb on the FitCast.
Don't worry,
we're
explicit, you know.
Okay.
If it drops, it drops.
We got the parental advisory. But,
yeah,
you know, so...
Larry talks about wearing mother's drawers that we have to get the parental advisory for that.
What? What are you talking about?
But, you know, what I keep... keep coming back to is the people that are, you know, doing very well in the industry, you know, very few are pure con artists. You know, the people that are doing really well are doing so because they know what they're talking about. And they not only do they know what they're talking about, but they're good communicators, whether that's talking to people, writing to people, whatever the case may be, their communication skills are top notch. And that's something that I'm always working on, whether it's improving my writing, working on my communication. These are the things that can really take you up a notch. When Eric and I created the whole Building the Efficient Athlete DVD series, you know, that whole presentation was geared towards trainers. You know, I think there's definitely some carryover to the general public, but, you know, the better you are as a trainer, then the things kind of tend to flow from there, whether it's getting in with a local newspaper, or, you know, starting to write for Elite Fitness or Sports Specific. You know, it's so rare that somebody goes on and first gig, they get to write for T-Nation. You know, it just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd written probably 10 or 15 articles for lower-level magazines before I got in there. Same thing goes for Men's Health. You know, a lot of guys say, oh, man, I saw you're in Men's Health. You know, how can I write for them? And they're like 22. You know, so unless you're Nate Green and you're a total... you know, business entrepreneur freak of nature.
He's the man.
You know, you're not going to jump in and just start writing for Men's Health. So, you know, that's what I would tell people. You know, start at bare bones level. Start by really working on your craft. You know, get the great results with your clients. Take your professional level of knowledge to another level. And then things kind of fall into place. You know, and if I can give people one small piece of advice beyond that, it's just stay hungry. Stay ambitious. You know, the people that are doing well within the industry are some of the most motivated people I've ever met. And that's why, you know, people say, oh, well, you're just in with a good group. I'm like, you're damn right I am. I'm in with a good group of guys that are super motivated, that are super ambitious, and that push me every day to be better. You know, so if you surround yourself with people like that, not only in your professional life, but in your personal life, you're going to be so much better off, and you're going to be able to experience and do so many more things with your life. So, a little philosophical there, but, you know, that's the gist of it.
While we have some time, I want to quickly mention that reminded me that Keith Sutanamo was actually in some kind of Men's Health. handout, or maybe it was in Men's Health magazine, for Adam Campbell's new diet book. And Keith was actually on the second and third episodes of the FitCast, so shout out to Keith. And that kid is really going places. He's grown a lot in the last year, knowledge-wise, and he's training clients, and he's still getting through school. So, Keith, huge props out to you, man. And maybe we'll probably have you on again in the future. And I'm trying to get Adam Campbell on to talk about his new book.
And that'd be awesome.
That man, he is a tough man to get on the show. And
Didn't you say you were trying to get Lyle McDonald, too?
Why are you breaking these things? These are supposed to be surprises.
My bad.
Well, this is I'm actually.
Well, you didn't say it was definite. You just mentioned it in passing that it might happen.
That's why you can edit, man. Just edit it right out.
I'm not editing tonight. There's no editing. I've been working for 14 hours today almost. No editing. And I'm tired. But
like Crime of the River in the background? Can we do that?
Okay. What was I saying? But anyways, yeah, Keith. Oh, Lyle McDonald. Yeah, I think we're going to get Lyle on because thanks to Carl Valley, who's been a huge help in helping me get a bunch of these guests on, like Mike Boyle. He's actually helping me get in contact with some of these guys who I had trouble getting in contact with before because they only had like contact at yada yada website.com. So it's easier for me to go get first-hand contact with these guys so we can get some more guests on the show for you. And I have a ton of ideas for people to come on the show, and we were going to make the show like 2 hours long this week because we also have mailbag stuff, but I don't know if we're going to have time to even get to that today. And yeah, that's it. So what do you guys think, Jimmy or Tony? Do you have anything else for Mike?
No, that's the questions I have for him.
There's great discussion, Mike, and again...
Your voice is correct. Sorry.
You can send those emails to takejimmyoffthefitcast.com. I'm still taking emails for that in the poll. If this is something a majority of the audience does want, we can always block them from the Skype list. And actually, something I did want to quickly talk about before we go is that we had to talk about our article discussion for next week. So now that we only have three of the five of us on, quickly, Tony and Jimmy and I will talk about what we're going to be writing about this week. So first off, Tony, do you want to jump into that?
Honestly, I have no idea yet. Usually just comes to me, like I sit down in front of my computer, I'm like, what do I want to rant about today? So I honestly have no idea yet, and I'll be sending it to you tomorrow. So.
I know Jimmy knows what he's writing about.
I don't have a damn clue, and I'll be sending it to you hopefully tomorrow as well.
Okay, well, we're all staying on task. I personally am... I knew what I was writing about because I started writing about it last week, but then I had a rant about something. But I'm going to remember what I was going to write about, and I'll write about it for tomorrow. So I guess we all suck this week. That's all right.
But I will say, you know, for the listeners who did send in mailbag questions, like we definitely do want to get to them.
And we have
a lot of good questions. Yeah, and we will get to them because there's definitely some questions that I would love to rant on and elaborate on. So
absolutely, and we could talk about anything from... actually, you know what? I'm going to use this question. We have a mailbag question that I'm going to actually ask Mike, and you guys can jump in as well, because I think it's something that we all talk about. And I know, Mike, you don't have access to... or Mike, do you have access to a sled?
I don't right now, but I've used one in the past.
Okay. Well, anyways, this email that comes from Nathan. He says, "Hey, Kevin, I'm a personal trainer in Ontario, Canada. I listen to your show all the time. Keeps me motivated. Great job. Keep it up." And I'm sure he's talking to you guys as well. "Just wondering if you can talk about the benefits of sled dragging on your mailbag part of the show. Thanks, brother." And that comes from Nathan. So, Mike, actually, I'm going to direct that question right towards you.
Sure. And I'm going to totally dodge it and just say what I like to use sled dragging for.
Okay.
Sled dragging... is something that I really like to use for people that can't do a lot of stuff due to knee pain. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the nice thing about sled dragging is it's concentric only. So most people that have knee pain have issues with the eccentric loading. Also, other things that cause issues with the knees are like deep knee flexion or deep hip flexion. When you're dragging a sled, you don't generally have that. But if you do, you know, forward sled drags, backward sled drags, you could do like Kiriokas, you basically train the entire like hip and thigh musculature without putting too much stress on people's knees. So that's one of the really simple ways that I use, or I'm able to load people with knee issues without necessarily having to do the basic stuff like squats and lunges and deadlifts and all that stuff. So people that are, you know, whether they just have severe knee pain or, you know, their issues and we're trying to get them stronger post-rehab or post-surgery, that's one of the best times that I use the sled. And I think it's a really valuable tool, and obviously just the obvious benefits of conditioning and that kind of stuff, increasing work capacity.
That's a fantastic point. I never actually thought about it that way. It makes like, a lot of sense.
Especially people that are like post-rehab. So if you've gotten somebody through the whole surgical, they've done the PT, the rehab, all that stuff, then they come to you post-rehab, they still may not be able to do all that much stuff. So it's a good way to start loading them, get the tissues ready for further loading down the line, whether it's weights, lunges, plyometrics, that kind of stuff. It's a great intermediary to start getting the tissue ready for more advanced loading methods.
Good stuff. Tony or Jimmy, did you have anything you wanted to add to that quickly before we go?
No, I agree wholeheartedly with Mike. You know, outside the knee stuff, it's just a great... Anyone who has ever done sled dragging, if they think that that's not a quote-unquote cardiovascular exercise, they're kidding themselves.
Yeah, I mean, look at the video.
I do it, and I want to collapse on the floor. So, you know, I don't have a sled available where I work, but definitely when I'm at Excel, I would use it the same way Mike would be using it, as well as just basically kicking somebody's ass.
I think something that we might want to talk about in the future, maybe as a project, I don't know if anyone out there has done this before, but creating like a makeshift sled that people can make. I guess you could just like tie a rope to a tire or something and weight it down, but something they can just use at their house or outside their yard.
You can even probably just nail a bunch of 2x4s together and give something, some sort of effect like that. I don't know what you'd use in the middle. I'm not quite Bob Vila, but
or you could
you
use
know,
a
sure
you could
use
a sled, sled from the winter, like an old plastic one, and just load it up with rocks, and extend the rope.
MacGyver workout.
Exactly. So I don't think Richard Dean Anderson will be on the show next week, but I know the rest of us will be here, and we'll have Eric Cressy on as well. So we're gonna get out of here for this week. Again, don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. Don't forget to check out robertsontrainingsystems.com. And make sure to check out all of our sponsor sites as well, because they thank you as well as we do, because they help support our show and they help us get it to you every single week. So for episode number 56, I'm Kevin Larrabee.
I'm Tony Dunacore.
I'm Jimmy Smith.
Mike Robertson.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks again for joining us. And again, no 2-hour long episode, but Jimmy needs to train someone in the morning. Cry.
Thanks.
So you know what, Jimmy? Just for you, we're going to head out with Cry Me a River.
This I wasn't the one complaining.
For Jimmy's...
You
oh, you know what? I'm going to even leave this in the show. I will put the email in quotes in the show notes, but I won't do
Dude,
that.
Dude, that's fine. You were the one like, I worked today. Like...
All right, we're going to get out of here. I'm sorry, everyone. This will never happen again. Probably not until next week, at least. Take care.